T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Jim's out in Morgan Grove. Hey, Jim, you're on The Score.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, thanks for talking about hockey. The media in general underestimates the hockey community out here, and that's been forever. But regarding
I need to push back on you a little bit on that. I don't think
Why?
We do, because the numbers tell us that you aren't there. If we took a group of 100 people and we asked them to say you can watch one of your favorite teams for the rest of your life, not many of them are going to choose the Blackhawks over the Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox, or the Bulls.
Lawrence, if you did that, I can tell you, living in Chicago, I'm 62 years old, 90% of them are going to say the Bears, because they're the darlings of the media. They play once a week.
It's not because they're the darlings of the media. It's because the NFL rates. That's why all of these things happen. It's not because we're not pushing the Bears. People's interest is in the Bears. So we're reflecting that interest. Just because your group of people that does love hockey is loud doesn't mean that they're robust. That's all I'm trying to get you to understand.
Wow.
I don't know what you're wowing about. Like, this is simple dollars and cents.
Let the record show.
Oh, he hung up?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
And unless there's some breaking news today, we are not going to talk about hockey. It's so funny that someone texted in and said, are callers like that part of the reason that hosts don't talk more hockey? Yes. They're very similar, and I would consider myself part of this group, very similar to MMA people, where it's like, why aren't you talking about it? You should be talking about Khabib versus Gaethje. And then I talk about it like, you don't know what you're talking about. Joe Rogan. And it's like, why would I deal with that when I could just talk about other stuff like we're planning on doing on today's show? We've got a loaded show. Dave Revzin of the Big Ten Network is going to join me in the next segment. I want to ask him how all of this stuff is going to work with the Big Ten. And honestly, I don't know who's good. I mean, I know Ohio State is supposed to be good, but I have questions about the rest of the Big Ten, and maybe Dave can answer some of those questions. BTN Live starts at 6 o'clock tonight. The Illini, they kick off the Big Ten season tonight, so we will talk to him about that. Joe Ostrowski is going to join me at 1 o'clock. We have Joe on usually on Fridays, and I asked him, could he do Friday and Monday? Here's what I want to do, because, you know, Joe is our sports betting guru. So here's what I want to do with Joe. Today, I want to focus on NFL betting, non-Bears like NFL betting, some college football stuff, and maybe a little bit of baseball too. And then Monday, when he's on the show, then we're going to talk about Bears props and things of that nature. So Joe was nice enough to come and hang out on the show in a couple different areas, so I'm glad that he's doing it. James Big Cat Williams is going to be on the show too today. We're talking to him around 1:20. I like talking with Big Cat. I think that he's phenomenal. He's also someone who works with wood, so I want to find out what he's built lately. And I want to ask him about improvement on the Bears offensive line and whether that's something that can be achieved with the same personnel in one season. Oh, that's right. And JJ's on the show at 12:40 because we'll preview the Bears game that we have coming. So we have a loaded show. So a lot of football on today's show because football rates. But let me ask you, not even ask you a question, but talk to you about baseball real quick. I'm so glad that Spiegs broke down how Yasmani Grandal got on the list of players that were finalists for Gold Gloves. Because as a White Sox, as the list was coming out, Herbie was telling me in the talk back, he's like, Grandal and McCann are finalists for Gold Gloves. And I was like, I could maybe make a case for McCann. He's my preference as far as who catches on the Sox. There's no case for Grandal outside of his pitch framing. His pitch framing is phenomenal. He is one of the best in Major League Baseball at pitch framing. But y'all saw the rest of the games. You saw the pop-up that he missed. You saw the mental mistake as a runner is coming home and he's not paying attention. You saw the play at the plate where he gets a flip, and yes, it was an awkward flip, but you should probably still catch it. They ended up losing the White Sox a game. So I was befuddled. Befuddled is a great word. Befuddled by him being a finalist, and I'm glad that now I have a better understanding of why he was a finalist. Strength of his pitch framing versus this is where I'm a big proponent of marrying the objective and the subjective. The objective to the subjective. And this is one of those cases where you would need both. You would need the statistics to work through this, and you'd also need the naked eye. And the naked eye would tell you that he was not a Gold Glove caliber catcher this year. All right, I need to take a break because we have a lot of football to do on the show. We are going to talk with Dave Revzin as the Big Ten season starts up. I want to pick his brain, find out who's good in the Big Ten. We're going to do that. He's one of my favorite guests. He's always got something really knowledgeable to say. You'll enjoy him. He joins me next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here on the Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Big Ten football is back tonight on Big Ten Network. BTN Live starts at 6 o'clock, according to my guide. And one of the guys that you will see involved with BTN Live and Big Ten football overall is one of their hosts. He's fantastic, always thoughtful. Dave Revzin of the Big Ten Network joining me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out Melrose Park, or you could just cut out the middleman and go to alpamonteford.com. Dave, how are you?
I am doing great, Lawrence. I am really fired up to start some football. I've gotten out of my White Sox depression, and now I'm ready for some Big Ten action.
Yeah, we were talking before the break on how surprised we all were that Yasmani Grandal finished as a Gold Glove finalist this year.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Yeah, how about that? All right, I won't belabor the point asking you Sox questions, but I do want to talk to you about how we got here. How did we as a Big Ten get to this point where they felt comfortable putting the guys back on the field? And how much do you think they learned from the ACC, the SEC, and the Sun Belt going out and having a month or 6 week head start?
Okay, so as far as how we got here, I think all along, even though it wasn't necessarily articulated all that well early on, I think the Big Ten's notion for whether or not to play was solely based on could they put players on the field and be as close as you can be to 100% confident that they didn't have COVID. And they really felt like the only way that they could do that would be to test every day. And so in August, when they postponed the season, they were going into contact practice that week, and they didn't have daily testing in place. They were testing two or three times a week. And so the thought was, as soon as you get into contact practice,
if you find out that someone's had COVID and maybe they've had it for 3 days since the last test and you're trying to contact trace a football practice, good luck. I mean, essentially, you're going to have to quarantine your entire team. So that was, I believe, why it was postponed in August. Again, I'm not sure that message was communicated that well because there was a lot going on. But then when they came back in September, I thought they did a tremendous job of communicating what they were going to do, of clearly articulating, here's what happened. We got daily testing in place. We feel like with that in place, we have a reasonably good chance or a very good chance of preventing the virus from spreading within our teams. And so we're good to go. So I think that's how we got to this point. In terms of what they can learn, you know, I think you can learn a lot from watching the other leagues. And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned as a fan and an observer, and I think something that probably a lot of other fans are learning too, is it's going to be imperfect this year, Lawrence. I mean, to think that we're going to get through a Big Ten slate without having any games, in this case, would be canceled probably rather than postponed because there are no bye weeks, just seems unrealistic. I mean, so I think we've all kind of taken a look at this and said, and this is certainly held true in watching baseball and in watching, you know, some of these other leagues where you can't be in a bubble, the NFL being another one that obviously pops to mind, is it's impossible to completely control the spread. And so we just have to accept the notion that we're not going to see every single game that's on the schedule. And I think most people are comfortable with that.
All right, then I need a primer. I got to figure out who's good. And that's another thing that I think in watching the SEC and the ACC, where there are teams where you might have thought coming into the season they would have had an advantage, and some have held true. Clemson, Alabama, for example, you kind of knew they were going to be good. I have Ohio State in that same category. Why do people think that team is poised to be in a national championship conversation?
They are just loaded, Lawrence. You know, Ryan Day called this a once-in-a-lifetime kind of team. And, I mean, it starts with Justin Fields. The guy is absolutely phenomenal. He threw 41 touchdown passes last year and 3 interceptions. He accounted for 51 touchdowns. He ran for 10 as well. I mean, he's just incredibly accurate. He is a great runner. He's just fabulous. Got a big arm. So I think it starts there to me. They got All-Americans all over the field. The offensive line, getting Wyatt Davis back was huge. He's an All-American first-round draft pick kind of candidate. They've got a couple other guys on that line who I think are All-American types. They're loaded in the backfield, assuming everyone stays healthy. So offensively, some questions of wide receiver, but you know, you do have Chris Olave, who is a major threat, and they have some young guys who are 5-star type talents. And then on defense, again, maybe some questions up front. I mean, certainly losing Chase Young is a blow, but they've just recruited so well. I mean, Lawrence, when we go there in the preseason, of course, we weren't able to do that this year for the first time in 14 years that we've been on for BTN. Usually Jerry and Howard and I are on the bus and watching every team practice. But there's just such a physical difference between Ohio State, frankly, and everyone else in the league. They are just a good-looking team. There's just talent all over the board. So you can lose 5-star guys who are first-round draft picks, and replace them with another 5-star guy. And I think that's part of why people are so high on the Buckeyes.
Is the Big Ten confident that even with the short schedule, I know that they have everything kind of timed up with the choices that are going to be made for the national championship, are they confident that there'll be enough of a display for one of their teams to have a legitimate argument to be one of those 4 teams?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the day that the Big Ten announced that they were coming back last month, I asked that question to Northwestern's athletic director, Jim Phillips, who was one of the chairs of the Return to Competition Committee. And he said to me, absolutely, that they had conversations with the college football playoff, with the people who were running the playoff, and felt confident that their teams would get fair consideration for the playoff. You know, we have a lot of conferences playing schedules that are a little truncated here. I mean, the Big Ten's getting a 9 games in. Again, it's certainly fewer than some of these leagues that have started earlier, the ACC and the Big 12 and the SEC. But I think it's still enough of a number of games. It's enough games so that you can get a really good sense of how good these teams are. And again, I think in college football is crazy, and that's part of what's fun about it. is that you often are kind of comparing apples to oranges in terms of schedules. You know, Big Ten plays 9 conference games. SEC only plays 8. They play an FCS game. The Big Ten doesn't. Is this fair? No, it's not fair. Yes, it is fair. I think we're going to have less of people shouting from the rooftops this year about the unfairness of it, Lawrence. Maybe I'm kidding myself. Maybe I'm deluding myself. But I think people are just going to be so happy to see it back. It feels to me like, you know, particularly since the SEC has been fairly underwhelming other than Alabama, frankly, you'll get one team from the SEC. You'll get one team from the ACC. You know, whether or not the Big 12 gets anyone in, who knows? I mean, I just think there's going to be a spot for the Big 10 if they have a team that's worthy, which I believe they will.
Illinois will take on Wisconsin tonight at 7 o'clock on the Big 10 Network. We are talking to Dave Revzin of the Big 10 Network. So we talked about Ohio State. We know that they're probably going to be good. Who else is at this point a team that you have your eye on that might be able to compete in the Big Ten?
Well, if you're talking about competing for a college football playoff, I mean, I think the next team is Penn State. They've made a New Year's Six game 3 of the last 4 seasons, won 11 games last year. They made a great hire in the offseason, bringing in Kirk Shiraka as their offensive coordinator. Their OC, Ricky Ronnie, left to take the head coaching job at Old Dominion. Shiraka did an amazing job with Minnesota last year. He's been PJ Fleck's right-hand guy, and he inherits a very talented quarterback in Sean Clifford. He's kind of the master of the RPO, Shiraka is. Clifford is perfect for that kind of an offense. He's really mobile. His accuracy is good, not great, but, man, he's got a big arm. The issue for them is they got some bad news this week with Journey Brown out for the year. The guy's maybe a dark horse Heisman candidate, a really good running back. But they've got first-round draft picks out there, too, and that's why I think they can compete with Ohio State. They might not have as many, but, I mean, Pat Freiermuth, their tight end, will probably be the first or second tight end off the board if you believe the NFL scouts. Jason Oway on the defensive line looks like maybe a first-rounder. Shaka Tony could be in that conversation, too. So they're just really, really talented. Again, they haven't recruited quite at Ohio State's level, but it's close. They're really well coached. They've been very good on defense under Brent Pry. Now, they had a huge opt-out with Micah Parsons, who might be the best defensive player in America, or would have been. That's going to hurt them, no doubt. But they're close to that level. They get Ohio State at home next week. I don't know how much the home field advantage matters this year, but you know, they've had some success against the Buckeyes, very, very limited. But did beat them a few years ago and route to a Big Ten championship. So we'll see. But to me, they're the next logical team.
Joe Milton looks the part. Like you're talking about if you're drawing up what you want your quarterback to look like, that kid looks the part. Is this the breakthrough that Jim Harbaugh has been looking for at Michigan with that position?
He is really physically impressive. So we did see him, you know, last year when we were on our camp tour. And I remember saying, I believe on air, I know I said it to Jerry and Howard out loud, that I really thought they were 3 deep at quarterback. Now, of course, Shea Patterson is gone. Dylan McCaffrey opted out of this season. It looks like he's going to transfer. The third guy was Milton. He's only thrown 11 career passes. 2 of them have been picked off. But I agree with you. He is physically really impressive. I mean, you notice him when you're at a practice. You say, who is that guy? So I know they're really high on him. I think they have a lot of holes, though, elsewhere, Lawrence. I really do. I don't even know if they're the third best team in the East on paper. It may be Indiana. I think Indiana's, if you were to kind of take off the team at the top of the roster and just say, let me tell you about the players these guys have coming back, it's pretty close between Michigan and Indiana. And Michigan lost 10 players to the NFL draft. Only LSU lost more nationally. Now, in fairness, Ohio State lost 10 too, but they were really decimated along the offensive line. I think that's going to hurt them. Defensively, you know, they've kind of been in this situation with Don Brown where when they go against teams with lesser talent, they dominate because they blitz you and they make things really difficult. But as they get towards the end of the year, when they play Ohio State, when they get into their bowl game and they face teams of equal or better talent, that defensive philosophy hasn't seemed to work. There's certainly talent out there. You know, Quiddy Pay is another guy who could be, you know, a first-round type player. But I guess I just feel like unless Milton is just this breakout superstar, right? I mean, unless he just is phenomenal, which he could be, I just think there are more question marks there than there are in some other teams. And again, This is without the luxury of seeing them in preseason practice. So I feel somewhat less informed than I typically am.
What can I expect from Illinois this year?
I don't know. I think Illinois is a really interesting team. You know, Lovie's done a really good job of plugging in transfers, and that's been a big part of their success. I think that's high risk. I mean, I wish they were building a better foundation in terms of high school recruiting. They've done a really nice job in St. Louis. They haven't done as good a job here in the Chicago area. But they're an interesting team. I mean, they did get a lot better last year on defense. A lot of that was forcing turnovers. You know, that's Lovie Smith, as we all know. I feel like it's challenging to always replicate that. But they were great, and when they got takeaways, they won games. They still gave up the most rushing yards per game in the Big Ten in conference play, so I still think they need to get a lot better along the defensive front, and they lost quite a bit there. But they found a quarterback in Brandon Peters. They have a really good offensive coordinator in Rod Smith. They have some interesting transfers again this year. I know they really like Brian Hightower, who came in from Miami, a wide receiver. Joshi Matabebe made a huge impact coming in from USC last year. So if Hightower can be somewhere close to that good, that helps. Luke Ford, extremely highly recruited tight end, who's from Illinois, originally went to Georgia, had to sit out last year. He comes in. So I think there's reason for optimism for Illini fans. But again, you know, there's question marks there too, again, particularly on defense.
Dave, I appreciate your time. I'm glad that you're going to be able to do some work on some games. BTN Live starts at 6 p.m. tonight before Illinois takes on Wisconsin. Have fun with it, sir. I know you've been waiting for a minute.
Yeah, I have indeed, Lawrence. Triple header tomorrow as well on BTN, including Northwestern in primetime. So we will be there. I believe it's about an 18-hour day, and I cannot wait.
I can't wait either for you and my buddy Mike Hall, all the really, really good folks that work over at BTN. That is Dave Revzin. Thanks to him for being on the show. We need to take a break. Why? Because the Bears don't play Sunday, but they do play Monday. And there is a lot to discuss with this team. J.J. Stankovic joins me next, and we are going to talk about some help for the offensive line. J.J. did a deep dive, and I'm going to ask him to share with you some of his thoughts on what the Bears can do from a personnel standpoint to get better. That's next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Have a little fun, brother.
Let's go.
Okay? Have an awesome game today, man.
J.J. Stankovic, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
Gotcha. I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
J.J. Stankovic with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking with J.J. He talks with us once a week about what's going on with the Bears. You can read his work over at NBCSportsChicago.com. Follow him on Twitter at J.J. Stankovic. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Out in Melrose Park, or you can just go check out AlpamonteFord.com. J.J., before we get to the offensive line of the Bears, I would like to talk about our colleague, Cam Ellis, starting trouble between Nick Foles and Tom Brady. What's that all about?
So it was asked by our good friend Jason Leisure at Chicago Sun-Times to Nick Foles yesterday about Brady snubbing him after the Buccaneers game. Apparently, Brady was asked about it this week in Tampa. Credit to Jason for following up on it. But the blog that Cam wrote on NBCSportsChicago.com and on the My Teams app, I cannot do it justice to sum it up here. It is just a masterpiece of wit and snark. And just go read it. Just go read it. Go find it. Go read it. I tweeted it out. Lawrence, I know you liked it. I don't remember if you retweeted it or not, but go read it. For anyone listening to this, if you want a good laugh this afternoon, go read what Cam wrote about the Tom Brady-Nick Foles handshake that was not.
Cam's really good. Like he's yeah. I'm glad that I've gotten a chance to work with that guy, because I think that he's on his way up and he's really, really got some snark to him that I adore. All right, so let's talk about things that we don't adore, and that's the way that the Bears' offensive line is played. I listened to Bill Lazor yesterday. I was hiding in the Zoom listening to Bill Lazor talk about the offensive line and some of their issues. I saw the piece that you did where you were going through a bunch of different scenarios, whether it's trade, and earlier this week there was an opportunity even for free agency to help the Bears on the offensive line. Now that you've had a little bit of space from that, where do you think the best opportunity is for the Bears to make an addition to their offensive line personnel and get better for 2020?
It's a trade, Lawrence. They you can go get Quentin Spain off the street now, but you got to wonder how many red flags there are if a guy who signed a new contract before the season gets cut on a playoff team six games into the season. That is a little worrying. Obviously, I think Spain would be an upgrade over Rashad Coward or Alex Bars, but I think you can do better. I listed five guys in that article you mentioned on NBCSportsChicago.com as potential offensive line trade targets. Most of them are guys who have contracts that expire after this season or next. If they expire after next season, they're easy to get out from under if the Bears have a cap situation. So I think any of those five guys makes a lot of sense. But I think, you know, I listed the big guy I listed on there, Lawrence, was Kevin Zeitler on the New York Giants. He carries a pretty hefty cap hit this year. You could get out from that contract next year. It's going to take a lot to get him, though. I think, you know, probably a second-round pick plus to go get him. There are some guys you might be able to get for a conditional fifth, sixth-round pick, you know, on teams that need to shed salary, need to accumulate draft picks. There's one team in particular that I'm looking at. That's the Houston Texans, who've got Zach Fulton, the Homewood Flossmoor guy, just like yourself, who I think would make a lot of sense for the Bears. On this roster, if Houston were willing to part with him, get some salary cap relief, get a draft pick because they don't have any of those next year, and try to rebuild that team.
I know that what they have asked Coward to do is difficult. Mm-hmm. They've asked him to change sides of the ball. They've asked him to change positions, to change sides of the offense. Still, at this point, shouldn't we be farther along in believing that he can do the job at guard?
Yes, because, Lawrence, you remember when we went into training camp, it was, all right, Jermaine Ifedi's competing against Rashad Coward to be the starting right guard. Rashad Coward did not take a single rep with the first team offense in training camp that I could count. It was Jermaine Ifedi's job from day one. And that was one of my biggest disappointments at camp. I think Ifedi has played well, but that Rashad Coward didn't really even compete, there was no rotating, there was none of that going on, was a little jarring, I think, given what the Bears thought they were getting out of Coward last year. You know, obviously his first time starting at guard was last year. They thought they got some good things out of him in terms of his athleticism and his upside. I know there were some bad plays that showed up on film, certainly, but for him to come in and not really compete for that was kind of a wake-up call. And then to ask him to go play a side of the line he has never played before in his life, because in 2018, when he converted from D-line to O-line, he only played right tackle. I don't want to say they set him up to fail, but clearly they don't trust Alex Bars. If you're going with a guy who's literally never played on that side of the line before and has only been playing O-line at a college or professional level for 2 years, it kind of feels like they don't have a good option. Now, maybe you stick with Coward and expect him to improve, but you're 5-1. Are you really going to try to contend for a Super Bowl with Rashad Coward as your starting left guard? That, to me, is a really dangerous proposition to go with that unknown and a guy who did not put any, you know, a lot of good things on tape against Carolina. I think the Bears got to make a move here. I really do. This is a spot that you cannot have as a blind spot. Especially after the way James Daniels was playing to start the year.
Matt Nagy said yesterday that they got after it. They got into the pads. They did some thumping. How confident are they that some of the things that they're doing in practice will make them better once they get into games?
Well, I mean, they have to be confident that they are. I kind of liked hearing that, though, from Nagy. Hey, they got a little physical yesterday. Use that extra off day that they got this week to their advantage. I thought that was probably a pretty good move. But look, this game in Los Angeles is going to be a really physical game. It's probably going to be low scoring. The Bears are going to have to be prepared for a really tough physical battle against a really good team. But no matter how much thumping you get in practice, is that going to prepare your starting left guard to face Aaron Donald? I mean, that is – I don't know what you can really do to prepare anyone to face Aaron Donald, but the Bears in 2018 did do a good job of that. Last year, not so much. So, you know, I like it. I like that they use that extra day to their advantage, but I'm kind of skeptical if that really is going to produce any different of a result on Monday night in this game.
I was thinking about it this morning, and if you look at the Bears and take each unit, every position group that they have, and then you look at the Rams, I feel as if the Bears' biggest weakness is getting ready to go up against the Rams' biggest strength. The interior of the Bears' offensive line, I would imagine, grades the worst out of any group that they have on their team. And now here comes Aaron Donald to try and wreck your game.
Yeah, and that, you know, teams will go into games trying to accentuate their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. But to minimize this weakness, I mean, we've been waiting for Nick Foles to take shots downfield, right? How can you expect Nick Foles to hang in the pocket long enough to take a shot downfield when you might have Aaron Donald lined up over Rashad Carter? You have Aaron Donald. He's done this a couple times. He lines up over the tackle, and they just run a game inside. But Donald has this almost like runway to go get to the guard. And when you've got Aaron Donald coming with a full head of steam, you're probably not stopping him, no matter who that guard is. So it's going to be really tough. I think you might see a lot of quick passing, a lot more quick game, which we've seen a lot of from Nick Foles. I think by necessity, based on the defenses he's been facing that have tried to take the top and make sure he can't take the top off of them. But now you got LA coming in with Aaron Donald, and that's worrying, especially too, because this offensive line across the board has not handled stunts very well. And it's not just left guard, it's the whole line. And yeah, I think you said it perfectly, Lawrence, that the Rams' biggest strength is going up against the Bears' biggest weakness. And usually that goes to the team that's got the biggest strength.
You're someone who I trust when it comes to opinions on the Bears. You were there, you're around this team, you're following this team as closely as anybody. 2 weeks ago, Matt Nagy kind of publicly was like, the details, like we got to clean some of this stuff up. And then we were all like, yeah, you're right. Your team is bad at details. And then they win the game and they're still bad at details. They're falling for the banana in the tailpipe. They're getting penalties after timeouts, all of these things. And then him and Nick Foles just kind of flipped and like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, we're bad at details and our offense doesn't score any points. But look, we're 5-1. So where's the truth in the way that they feel about what their offense has done and what they're capable of doing?
The truth is that they're not happy about it. But the second part of that truth is that you can only play that details card and that I'm pissed off after a win card really once when you're winning. If you keep playing it, I think it might get tuned out a little bit inside the building. So I think Nagy actually handled it pretty well. Like, you play that card, all right, it didn't really work, but now I've got to accentuate the fact that we're 5-1 and we keep on finding ways to win. And we're going to do that publicly, while internally, I am sure those film reviews have not been super fun for the offense because they are making mistakes. And when Matt Nagy, you know, was railing against guys running the wrong depth and not getting their assignments right, that stuff probably is still happening, but you can only go to that well so much, I think, and certainly in consecutive weeks when you're 5-1, that might get a little dicey. I think Matt Nagy, for all the criticisms of him as an offensive mind, Matt Nagy has always had a really good pulse on his locker room and that team. And I think that is what we saw with the different messaging coming out of the Carolina game. Because, Lawrence, that is exactly what I asked Matt Nagy after the game was, you talked about all the details and that you're not happy about that after the Bucks game. Why is your tone different now? And he kind of pivoted into the, we're not taken away from the win and, you know, we're not going to diminish this by any stretch, but I am sure in those film reviews, it has been a pretty harsh and critical thing. You know, Bill Lazor sits down with us today And our friend Pat Finley asks him, you know, innocuously, hey, how's it going? And he goes, good, got a lot of work to do. Just like, hey, get me out of here. I got to go do some stuff.
He's right. And I'm actually going to try and play a little bit of Bill Lazor later on in the show. JJ, as always, I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Lawrence. Talk to you next week.
That is JJ Stankovic wearing his Mizzou hat in the Twitch stream. And a lot of people had some thoughts on him wearing his Zoom hat in the Twitch stream, which is totally okay. If you want to watch the show, you can. twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. We need to take a break. The Bears don't play Sunday, but the NFL does. And I want to know what some of the best bets are for this Sunday. I want to pick Joe Ostrowski's brain about the World Series as well. We will do that next here on The Score.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Joe?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.